Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And Jim, some very good news coming out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals on Tuesday, denying the Obama administration's request to lift a hold on the president's executive actions on immigration, which would have granted protection from deportation as well as work permits to millions of immigrants in the country illegally. That's the New York Times lead. Basically, it means they shot down his illegal amnesty. The Times report goes on to say the appeals court found that the states had sufficient legal grounds to bring the lawsuit and that the administration had not shown that it would be harmed if the injunction remained in place and the programs were further delayed. Also denied was a request by the administration to limit the injunction to the states bringing the lawsuit. The ruling is a second setback for programs the president hoped would be a major piece of his legacy, raising new uncertainty about whether they will take effect before the end of his term and casting doubts on the confidence of administration lawyers that their case was very strong. It was a 2-1 decision by a 3-judge panel. Obviously, the administration will appeal probably to the full Fifth Circuit, but certainly this seems headed for the Supreme Court. But hey, we're 2-0.
That's a good way of putting it, Greg. And one of the things we'd seen this administration, particularly since the midterms, basically Obama unchained, the idea that they weren't going to recognize much of any constitutional restrictions on their power, that he'd been saying for a couple of years, oh, I can't do executive amnesty. I can't do executive amnesty. I don't have that kind of constitutional power. And then as soon as the threat of it hurting the Democrats in the midterms had passed, let's face it, it couldn't have hurt them any more than it already did. he ended up saying, oh, I do have this magical power. Oh, I just found it in the Constitution. It was hiding under a pile of papers. And he asserts it. And the good news is that as much as we may feel like we have runaway judges and judicial activism and this kind of sense that the Constitution means whatever anybody wants it to mean, there are enough judges who would kind of say, wait a minute, whoa, 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 whoa. This is effectively a wholesale rewriting of immigration law. And this is not something that the president can just assert flatly without getting a buy-in from Congress. It's kind of nice to see when you see these kinds of dismissiveness and kind of flat out saying, look, you know, you're a partial injunction would be ineffective because you end up with the beneficiaries moving from one state to another state. Kind of recognizing just the fact that what the administration's approach here was pretty unworkable. It's a gamble every time you rely on the courts to restrict the president's power. There's always a chance you'll get one of those bad judges, but we'll take any victory we can get, and this is a nice step against the attempt to create an executive order amnesty.
On to the bad martini, and man, it's bad. More pay-to-play with the State Department and the Clinton Foundation while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Oddly enough, this investigation and expose comes from the International Business Times, which reports, under Clinton's leadership, the State Department approved $165 billion worth of commercial arms sales to 20 nations whose governments have given money to the Clinton Foundation. That figure, derived from 3 full fiscal years of Clinton's term as Secretary of State, represented nearly double the value of American arms sales made to those countries and approved by the State Department during the same period of President George W. Bush's second term. The Clinton-led State Department also authorized $151 billion of separate Pentagon-brokered deals for 16 of the countries that donated to the Clinton Foundation, resulting in a 143% increase in completed sales to those nations over the same time frame during the Bush administration. They also go on to say that a lot of these deals went to countries who our State Department deplored their human rights record. And there were also pay-to-play allegations in this piece about American contractors donating to the Clinton Foundation. So, Jim, just when it looked like Hillary Clinton might be getting the press to follow the shiny object in another direction, boom.
Yeah, the Clintons and their team are going to say, look, it's entirely coincidental that foreign nations made large donations to the Clinton Foundation and the State Department just happened to approve giant arms sales to them later on. But there was no evidence of a quid pro quo. And as the Schweitzer book lays out, look, even if you want to say, oh, that one was coincidence and that one was coincidence and that one just happened, you know, after a while they start stacking up to the point where it's just impossible to believe that entirely on the merits, the State Department just happened to reach the decision that was exactly what these big donors to the Clinton Foundation wanted. And what's more is, you know, Greg, look, in the era of Hollywood being politically correct and sensitive and not wanting to have Arab villains and not wanting to have this group because that group will complain and all that kind of stuff, who is the one standard bad guy that every action movie can still use as a villain?
Oh, the arms dealer.
Exactly. The shifty, shady arms dealers, right? They're always, you know, look, they don't care if there's a terrible civil war over in this fictional country over here. They're going to profit. You saw it in Avengers. You saw it in the James Bond movies. Well, now the Clinton Foundation is basically dealing with these groups. Let's put, you know, much bigger arms in the hands of Saudi Arabia. Let's put much bigger arms in these groups. And I kind of, it's just this fascinating disruption of the narrative because, you know, anybody who supported the Iraq War from 2003 to about 2008 was called a warmonger and a war profiteer, right? What was the epitome of all evil, Greg, from about 2003 to 2008?
Halliburton.
There you go. Well, now we have Hillary Burton. We have the Clinton Foundation, which has no problem taking giant piles of money from companies that are arms dealers and countries that want to buy arms and then turning around and coincidentally approving arms sales to them. So David Sirota is a guy who pretty much you can count on writing a salon piece of when something terrible happens, it's all Republicans' fault. But he is, in this case, a principled liberal. I think he thinks these arms deals are a bad idea, and certainly the idea of pay for play. Favor factory at the Clinton Foundation, basically people buying State Department approval of arms sales, is a terrible, terrible set of circumstances for U.S. policy. And so I got to give the guy some credit for this one. This is solid reporting, and it certainly paints a very ugly picture of the relationship between the Clinton Foundation and the State Department.
Hopefully that'll redound to the Republican nominee's benefit, or perhaps somebody else running for president on the Democratic side of the ledger. Perhaps even one Vermont socialist Bernie Sanders, who helped us out a little bit yesterday by pointing out that the real unemployment rate was still well north of 10%. But it's another comment that lands Senator Sanders in the crazy martini. This is the Washington Free Beacon version of the story. Self-proclaimed socialist and progressive favorite Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont, laments the idea that Americans can choose between, quote, 23 underarm spray deodorants as children go hungry under President Obama's economy. You don't necessarily need a choice of 23 underarm spray deodorants when children are hungry in this country, Sanders told John Harwood in an interview posted Tuesday. That was for CNBC. I think he also made a sneakers reference too, Jim. So apparently having more companies that make more stuff and employ more people helps to keep more kids hungry?
First of all, when Bernie Sanders says something stinks in America, I guess he feels the problem is that we don't stink enough. You and I have done the Doc Brown jokes about Bernie Sanders, and he does sometimes seem like he's someone should let him sit down in a chair and have some tapioca pudding. It's okay, Grandpa. It's okay. We'll make the scary deodorant monsters go away. But sometimes the line of thinking. What's fascinating is apparently everyone at that rally yesterday loved everything you said. Yeah. It's that darn big deodorant and it's profit taking and that stuff. We're watching a poor old man kind of ramble on and things like that. So am I correct in my understanding, Greg, that he really seemed to contend that excessive choice for consumers somehow takes food from the mouths of children?
I guess so.
Okay. did the poor children get any of the free Ben and Jerry's that were at the event yesterday?
I don't know. Hopefully.
All right. By the way, so they were given free Ben and Jerry's because, you know, that's what everybody knows from Vermont. That and Pat Leahy showing up in every Batman movie. But see, here's the thing. So you know what the average wage of somebody starting at Ben and Jerry's is, Greg?
I saw it somewhere. It's like north of $9, right?
Yeah, no. But remember, like $15 is the living wage, right? I mean, isn't it? You know, if you don't support a $15 minimum wage, you're a terrible human being. So
yes.
Did he tell everyone in the crowd to throw down that Ben and Jerry's ice cream? We will not take your Cherry Garcia, you ice cream profiteers. Pretty obviously, you know, as much as he rails against the ravenous greed of big deodorant, he's no different from anybody else, Greg. He's in the pocket of big ice cream.
Well, he didn't even try to make the case that you should pay deodorant workers more so they could help feed their kids. It was somehow that too many options on the shelf for underarm spray deodorants in particular somehow were depriving kids of food on the table. But I guarantee you who is not on his side on that one, Harry Reid, because he thinks people smell too much in the Capitol.
Man, it's going to be tough. It's, you know, it's going to be a big stinky fight in the hallway of the Senate.
Oh, yeah. Going to have fun with Bernie Sanders in the debates, I think. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.